Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, would you please? We're seated with a rabbi on the way from Detroit to Philadelphia. In fact, it happened to be a friend of mine's rabbi. I called him on the phone, left a message, and he actually returned my call. And so it was nice to put a face with a message. So we were seated, and we were nicely in the air, and I said, Rabbi, I said, you know, you have your Bible, and I have mine. Would you open the Word of God with me, and would you teach me the Word of God on our way to Philadelphia? And he said, Tim, our Bibles are so different. I said, they're not that different, Rabbi. I said, we'd really like to know what you would have to say about what God's Word says. I said, okay, Tim, open your Bible to Psalm 90. And he said, I want you to know that David wrote all of the Psalms. This is from a Jewish perspective now. David wrote all of the Psalms. And so Psalm 90 says a psalm of Moses, the man of God. But David wrote all of the psalms. It's okay. So he taught me the Word of God. And we had a great discussion and conversation about Psalm 90. And when we got to Philadelphia, he went out in the aisle and stopped right in the middle of the aisle. He turned around and he said, Tim, thank you so much for making my flight so enjoyable. Later had the opportunity of being in the rabbi's home, and I had taken him a book, and I wanted to get his impression. It was called Zion, the Zion Connection. It's basically our philosophy of ministry from Friends of Israel. And that day I had 1 hour with the rabbi, and he asked me a very provocative question. He said, Tim, are we Jews? Do we Jews have to believe in Jesus before he comes again? I said, Rabbi, it's a very interesting question. His wife is getting dinner ready, so I really don't have a lot of time. Do we Jews have to believe in Jesus before he comes again? I said, Rabbi, Jesus is coming as whether you believe it or not. He's coming. And if I understand the Word of God correctly, it's when he comes that the Jewish people will believe in him. All of that from Rabbi, would you teach me God's Word, Psalm 90. David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. A psalm is a hymn. It's a hymn. And there are 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. Someone has calculated that if you do 5 psalms a day, you can get through the book of Psalms in a month. 5 psalms a day. I tried that, and it's like, you know what? I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I take a psalm a day, and that gets me through Psalms 2.5 times a year. But Psalms is a powerful book. I'll bet if I asked you, do you have a favorite psalm? I'll ask you, do you have a favorite psalm? If you do, can I see your hand? Something you can't wait to see. Paul read one of mine this morning, Psalm 112. The man of God. So in the time that we have together, until God provides you with a pastor, and you keep asking me to come back once a month, we're going to go through the book of Psalms. It's called A Prescription for Life. And we're going to be looking not through from 1 to 150, but select Psalms. And I want to look with you this morning at the very first Psalm, Psalm 1. And it's all about choice. Choice. Joshua challenged the children of Israel as they were preparing to go into the land. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is our choice. Rocker Alice Cooper was raised in a Christian home. His grandfather had been a preacher. He rejected and rebelled the gospel. But later in life, in fact, recently, within the past few years, rocker Alice Cooper came to faith in Jesus Christ. He came back to the truth. Don't wait that long. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether young, whether old, and everything in between. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The psalmist would say, Amen. In Psalm 1, notice it with me, would you please, as we go through Psalm 1. Divides into two sections. The godly man and the wicked man. The godly lady and the wicked lady. The godly begins with the word, blessed is the man who walks not. Someone has said, and I love this comment, the psalmist begins with the power of negative thinking. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Father, we open the Word of God. We thank you that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Father, you have said of the law, of the Word of God, that it is pure. But we are not. And God, I thank you that the power of your Word is able to transform, inform, and make us what you want us to be. God, we would have hearing ears, open eyes, and a believing, obedient heart. Lord, we ask you to meet with us, be our teacher. And we ask that the Word of God would transform us, feed us, nourish us, strengthen us, encourage us. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning for each one here. You know the needs in each life, young and old alike. And Father, I just ask this morning that we would be the people of God. Lord, thank you that you are able to cleanse and wash and free. And so, Lord, we ask for that experience this morning. We ask that if there are some without Jesus Christ today, that today would be that day that they would trust him. For those who need a fresh touch from you, Father, we ask for that. You know, and we commit our time in this place to you. We pray for those who are absent. We lift them in prayer before you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The godly man. First of all, notice his commitment. His commitment to walking to please God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He has made a commitment to the living God. I want to live to please you. And so there are challenges. My dear friend, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, there is a challenge. We live in a world that is not necessarily favoring gospel preaching, holy living, and uprightness, honesty. I'll never forget hearing from a government leader, we can lie to you and deceive you and you won't even know it. Thank you so much. That gives me such confidence in my leaders. But dear ones, there's a commitment that we have to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's the challenge. You see, folks, we have a choice. Choice. What's my choice? My choice is to live to please God or live according to this world and be swept along by the world, living by the world's standards. And then one day when I stand before God, it was all a waste. It was all a waste. That word blessed is rich. It's plural. Blessed, blessed, blessed. How blessed did I mention it's blessed? Happy, how happy is the man. Happy, how happy is the woman, the young man, the young lady, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's the counsel of the ungodly? Counsel of the ungodly is that which opposes God's truth and God himself. It says you don't have to believe that. No, no, no. That's really fables and mythology, but it's really not the word of God. The child of God stands up and says, it is the word of God. That's your choice. That is your choice. I was seated next to... I've had more fun sharing the gospel on Delta Airlines than anybody should have the opportunity to have. I was seated next to a Jewish man, and we were talking about the things of eternity. I was sharing the gospel with him. And I kept calling the Bible what God said. He said, no, 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 that's not what God said. That's not what God said. Really? God said, my dear friend, this book, what makes it unique is that it's really God's word. This is the counsel that will stand. And I said to him, sir, you have a choice. You can build your life on this, which is eternal and will not change, or you can build your life on man's wisdom that will change. Where will you place your faith? For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've put it right here. We will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor will we stand in the way of sinners. This involves my companionship, the counsel, the teaching, the advising. Sidebar. There was a lady who was diagnosed while she was pregnant with cancer. And the doctors advised her to terminate her pregnancy. It would be of use to you and helpful to you. She said, no, I won't do it. She went through a treatment. She went through her pregnancy. And there on Facebook was the rest of the story. She and her baby celebrated 10 years. That baby came to 10 years of age and still going. See, folks, it matters what you believe. It matters where you get your information from. What do people, how do they view this book? How do they view it? May I get even lower? How do you view it? How do you view it? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me, I will serve the Lord. As for me, I choose to accept the truth of this book. I choose to embrace the God of this book. Because that choice will impact not only for eternity, but right here. As someone has said, it's not only for the sweet by and by, it's for the nasty now and now. It's true. It's true. Sidebar number two. May I remind you of something? If we had embraced the truth, then we walk away. And we have been impacted. The enemy has wounded us in our heart. My dear friend, you always come back. You can always come back. You can always come back. God's purpose for you has not changed. His love for you hasn't changed. His relationship to you hasn't changed. Come home. Come home. I love that hymn. You who are weary, come home. My dear friend, Alice Cooper found that to be true. That rocker, with his whole life, he said, God, more specifically, Jesus, saved me from cocaine and sin. There is what it means to not stand in the way of sinners. Be careful who your companions are. Be careful who your companions are. Watch the council. What do they think about God? How do they view the Word of God? Because as they advise you, they will live. As you listen to them, you will live. Three, this is, you don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't embrace the counsel of the ungodly, nor do you stand in the way of sinners. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful. What are scorners? What are scorners? Scorners are people who have an agenda. The agenda is to transform you from being a person who follows and obeys and loves Jesus Christ to one who stands against Him. They have personally rejected the truth of the Word of God, and they want you to join them. They have the agenda of changing you from your walk, your faith, your purpose. To following theirs. Dr. David Breeze has a powerful book, Six Men Who Ruled the World from Their Grave. They're scorners who rejected the truth of the Bible and promoted their philosophy, promoted their viewpoint, gained a hearing, and in that hearing took literally millions of people down their path with them. You see, my dear friend, it matters where you get your information. It matters. It matters where you get your information. So, the psalmist begins the whole book of Psalms with the Word of God and my relationship to it. I've got a choice to make. Who will I listen to? Who will I embrace? Who will I follow? Who will I accept? Who will I believe? That's a lot of choices, friend. But those are our choices. Those are our choices. In Psalm 1:1, it involves a commitment. Psalm 1, verse 2 takes us to a concentration. Folks, there are some specific ways we are to embrace and incorporate the Word of God into our life. Number one, we're to read it. Read the Word of God. That's where it starts. You personally picking up the book and reading it. Two, we are to hear it. That's what you're here for today. It's what I'm here for today. To communicate God's Word. We are to hear the Word of God. We are to believe the Word of God. We are to embrace it and receive it and ingest it just like we eat. How many of you like to eat? Can I see your hands? All right, me too. After all, wherever two or three Christians are gathered, there will be a meal. Amen. That's one of the areas that we need to develop is ingest. No, I'm not talking about eating pages, okay? But taking the content into your heart, your mind, your spirit, and you begin memorizing the Word of God. How do I know that? Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119, 9 asks, by taking heed according to his word. Then in verse 11 it says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do I hide God's word in my heart? Thank you for asking. That's when I begin memorizing the word of God. I have to admit, when I was young, your age, I loved to memorize the Bible. In fact, it was fun because in vacation Bible school, we could get awards for memorizing the most verses. Christian camp, right up the road. I saw that. I've been here a year and a half, never saw that sign about Christian camp up there. Christian camp, we taught our young people, I was one of those, to memorize the Word of God. That's great. But you know what? When you become an adult, you got to do it too. The older you get, I still need to memorize the Word of God. I don't do it as well as I did when I was a boy, but I still have to do it. Now I'm going to go to the one more step. It's all of the other one is a whole lot easier. Hear it, read it, believe it, memorize it. That's getting a little more personal. Meditate on it. That's even harder. Because we have this idea that meditation is just simply closing your mind. And that's not what meditation is at all. Meditation is focusing on the Word. And it's a digestion process. It's breaking down that Word and letting it come into your heart, your spirit, and your soul, and the members of your body, your being. It's just like food. You take that steak dinner in, that hamburger, that hot dog, that chicken, that corn dog that you're going to have. You take that in, and your body begins to break it down so that you can survive and thrive. That's meditation. It means to focus and concentrate my attention on the Word of God. Notice what the psalmist says about the Word of God in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to do it anyway, whether you give me permission or not. Is there any other time of day besides day or night? I got day, and it becomes night. Night becomes day, and day becomes night. There is this concentration that all day long I am to be focusing my attention on Him. See, folks, who am I going to develop the relationship with? How am I going to live? Who's going to own me? Where am I going to place my personal purpose in life? The psalmist says, I'm giving my life to the living God. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. He owns me. He redeemed me. I can't do any better than give my life to Him. And as I do that, then I begin to love His Word. I delight in His Word. So much so that I want to just think about it, keep my mind on it, let it be my focus all day and all night. Does that mean I can't do anything else but
read this book?
No. But it means that as I'm away from here, that my heart, my mind, my spirit is united and focused on Him. What does He want me to do? What are the lessons He wants to teach me? You ever heard of George Washington Carver? Okay. Believe it or not, he found 300 uses for the sweet potato. Sorry, 300 uses of the peanut, over 200 uses of the sweet potato. My wife has one. She can eat it. She loves her sweet potatoes. But George Washington Carver was asking some very serious questions of God one day. And God said, "That's too big for you, little man." And so Carver began saying, "God, why did you make the peanut?" And God began to show him about the peanut. And over time, he developed over 300 uses of the peanut. He even made an entire meal out of peanuts. From appetizer to dessert. Now, the dessert had the peanuts on the ice cream with whipped cream, I'm sure. But God showed him 300 uses of the peanut, then 200 uses of the sweet potato. Not bad coming from a slave's home. My dear friend, this book is full of wisdom, insight. The question is, will you expose yourself to the book? It's concentration. I meditate on Him. I meditate on His Word. And God teaches me and God speaks to me through His Word. And I get to speak to Him through prayer. And God can teach us, folks. God can teach us. There was a pastor by the name of Dr. Harry Ironside, last century now. It's hard to say that. 20th century. Dr. Harry Ironside met this believer and was amazed at the insight into God's Word. And he said, "Where did you learn this blessed material?" He said, and he's only a lay person. He's not even a pastor. He's not formal. So God taught me. God taught me. And every year, Harry Ironside would come back and visit this man because of the insight he had from the Word of God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. There's a comparison. I love this comparison in verse 3. A commitment in verse 1. Concentration in verse 2. And now there is a powerful comparison to the man, to the woman, to the boy, to the girl, who believes and embraces the Word of God. The psalmist goes on to say, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's pretty important. Why is that important? Because for a tree to grow and thrive, it needs water. 18 years ago, we bought our house that we live in right now in West Bloomfield. The couple we bought it from, I think they had at least one daughter, and I think she was expecting a second child. And we were sitting out front, and the daughter pulled grass and she said, I want this tree to eat. I want it to eat. And so she pulled the grass and threw it on the roots of the tree. And I said, you know, that's really a nice idea, but that's not how trees eat. Their eating is way down there. And it's in the roots, not above ground, but it's below ground. I want them to eat, but they don't eat like you and I. It's below the ground. It's in that root system. Join me in Colossians chapter 2, would you please? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul points out that we are rooted and we are grounded in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, look at me at verse 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. In fact, we're informal enough. Would someone read that for me? Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Amen to that. Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted in Him. We have our support, our strength, our nourishment in Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we have a whole new life system, whole new life support. There's a whole network for the tree. And it's on the inside. It's on the inside. Not physical, but of His Word by His Spirit. Go back to Psalm 1 with me, please. So the psalmist compares the child of God to a tree who is planted by the rivers of water. It's important because it is from the water that he will derive his nourishment and his surviving. No water, no life. No water, no life. I've been enjoying Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Secrets of the Vine. He tells of in Germany, there was a grapevine that had been planted right by the river. I want to say the Rhine, but at least it was a river there in Germany. And that vine had been producing grapes for years, older than you. It had been making grapes. Producing grapes. And the key was where the vine was located. It was by the water. It had its roots deep where it could draw the life and bear the fruit. Now, not only do we have the picture, some proofs. I love the fact that it says that when you're planted by the water, you bear fruit. What's bearing fruit? Well, a grapevine will produce what? Tell me, what does a grapevine produce? Grapes. What can you do with grapes? What's the first thing you can do with a grape? You can eat it. I like grapes. I love grapes. What else can you make out of grapes? Juice. I love grape juice. You ever notice when you go to a hotel and they have free breakfast? You go to the juice machine. And do you ever see grape juice? No. Apple juice, orange juice. And it's like, what do you have against grape juice? There's a church that we minister in up in West Branch, and the ladies know that I like grape juice, and so I get a free bottle of grape juice every year I go up there. They have grape juice just for me. You make grape juice out of grapes. You eat grapes. What else can you get from grapes? You put it on toast. What do you get? Jam and jelly. My dear friends, fruit is used to minister to you. It's not just for the tree. It's to be used abundantly. Guess what? God wants to use you abundantly. Not just for yourself, but to minister to others. The tree is planted. It will live. It will bring beauty. It will bear fruit to meet the needs of others. But it goes on. The psalmist continues in verse 3, and he says that it brings forth its fruit, whose leaf also will not wither. What's a withering leaf? What happens? Have you ever seen a withering leaf? What is that leaf doing? It's dying. What happened? Didn't get enough water. Didn't get the nourishment. Whose leaf will not wither. You will be not only productive, you'll be preserved. You'll live and thrive because of where you're placed. In Jesus Christ. Rooted in Him. Now, he summarizes it at the end of verse 3. Whatever he does will prosper. So we have a commitment, we have a concentration, we have a comparison. That's the godly man. The wicked man, the wicked one, is in verse 4. And you, when I read that, I mean, it's just like, it grabs your attention right now. The ungodly are not so. Stop right here. There are two views that we are presented with. Here is a choice. Whose view will I pursue? The world's view of how I am and who I am and what I am? Or will I pursue God's view of who He says I am? I have a choice to make, folks. As I looked at this passage, and it's like, what do I want to entitle it? A single word. Choices. Choices. These are the choices we got to make every day. Tune your heart, set your heart on Him. Because the world will come along and will say, no, 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 you don't need to worry about that. Do you know that there is a company or an individual in England, in London, who bought advertising on the side of one of their buses that said, there is no God. So relax and enjoy yourself. That's what I'm talking about, folks. Choices. Will you pursue Him and His way, or pursue the world and its way? What happens if I choose the world and its way? Number one, God says, the ungodly are not so. Number one, here is a declaration of fact. The ungodly are not so. They are like the wind, the chaff which the wind drives away. It's a picture, folks. It's a picture. Here's what God says. People who turn away from Him, who are like the scorners, people who turn away from him and reject him and his truth, his way, and teach others to do so, they're not going to last. But it sure seems like they do, doesn't it? But they won't, not from God's perspective, not from his perspective, not from his viewpoint. Then it goes on. That declaration of fact. Verse 5, therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment. There was a man who was a determined atheist, and he says that when he stands before God, he is going to tell God, you didn't give me enough evidence. Really? Folks, it doesn't get any bigger than eternity. It doesn't get any bigger than who am I going to live for? Who am I going to live for? It doesn't get bigger. Because the end result will be one day they're going to stand before God. And God says they won't stand in that day. They won't be able to say to him, you didn't give me enough evidence. Finally, the psalmist brings us to the fact that those who steel themselves against God, reject God, go their own way, do their own thing, are swept along by the world. Says the way of the ungodly perish. In the margin of your Bible right here, John 3:16 says this. And if you know it, would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friend, it doesn't get bigger than that. Who's going to own your life? Who's going to direct your life? Who's going to preserve? And who's going to judge you? My dear friend, the majority of the world will believe the world and not God's word. The majority of the world will reject God and his word. How important is it to know Jesus Christ and love him and serve him? It is so important that my eternal destiny is based on it. Choose you this day whom you will serve. That's the choice. Who's going to own you? Who's going to lead you? Where will you spend eternity? I had a friend, Jewish friend. Every time I tried to talk about spiritual things with him, he just wouldn't even listen. He changed the subject. Never got mad at me. He just changed the subject. It became so much fun just to see what he was going to do to change the subject. But one day, he called me. And he said, I'm all messed up, Tim. He said, because I got to go have open heart surgery again. And I said, I can only tell you two things. One, I love you. And two, I'm praying for you. I went down and visited him. He had a surgery in Cleveland Clinic down in Ohio. And here was what God did. He had me building into his life. But that time when he was in Ohio after he had a surgery, God put a Baptist preacher in his bedroom, in his room with him. And he loved that man. And that Baptist preacher, that godly man, sought to share the gospel with my friend daily until they both went their various ways. My friend, one day, I got the message. He had passed away suddenly. Passed away. I don't know where he is today, folks. See, I have two choices. I can follow him, obey him, give my life to him, or go the way of the world. Each one will have its ultimate consequence. Each one has its ultimate consequence. Those who go the way of the world and reject God will have one consequence, but notice with those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the Word of God, what happens to them? The psalmist goes on to say exactly. The way of the righteous God knows. My dear friend, I have a personal relationship with the living God. He's my friend. Talk about friendship. Talk about connections. I got the greatest friend. I have the greatest ruler. We have the wealthiest. He owns it all. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? He owns it all. I have choices to make. And that choice has a consequence. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One more thing. Mom and Dad can't make that decision for you. That's yours to make. That's yours to make. That's yours. Who do you choose?